You're listening to Curiosity Invited with David Bryan here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is David Bryan, and this is Curiosity Invited, a podcast inspired by endless curiosity. Tune in for an open-minded conversation about interesting and important things. Anyway, welcome to Curiosity Invited. My name is David Bryan, and today I have the extraordinary, he doesn't actually even know what a great pleasure it is. I get to speak to an old friend, old student, current friend, not student, current teacher, Michael Farhat, and he doesn't go by the name. He's got a company called Art Mob, which is that sweatshirt you're seeing or that on there. And Michael, thank you so much for being here and being willing to have this conversation and get curious together, et cetera, et cetera. And can we just talk for a moment about you? So I knew you in high school. That was, when did you graduate? 2004?
Oh, four, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Good memory, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so after that, did you immediately, how did Art Mob come to life?
So the name is kind of meshed between a couple of different things. I started the name Art Mob in art college. I went to Otis right by the airport.
Yeah.
And I majored in illustration. And each major had their own group, and my group happened to be called the Art Mob. I liked a music group called Mob Deep at the time, and I was influenced by the melodics of the music, not so much the content and what they're portraying. Yeah. But I called my group the Art Mob, and it kind of stuck. People liked the name. It resonated with a bunch of different ideas that I would soon explore when it comes to the professional part of my life. But the name stuck, and I ride with it. It's been a journey with the name, and a lot of uncertainty as far as where this thing is going. A lot of the things that we've ran across has been just that, a journey. And I can't really call the next thing. It's so exciting to just tap into my artistic path in this brand. And we've really tapped into many, many different media sources, interests, and all over the sports spectrum. I can't call what's next, but I'm excited for it.
So I kind of want to, well, I don't know if I want to back up first or go forward, but I knew you way back when, you were always drawing.
Always.
So was that a feature? Can you talk about your past? I mean, like, you know, I know you were adopted.
Yes.
Right. Where did you grow up? In Los Angeles? You adopted as a young person, a baby?
I was adopted from India when I was three. Mm-hmm. I used my early talent in drawing to communicate what I needed, whether it be grapes or whatnot. I would communicate through drawing. I grew up in Santa Monica, like West Side, towards the beach area. And I've always been into art. It's always been something that kind of just came to me naturally. When I was into X-Men and Marvel stuff, I would create my own narratives through art, and it just stuck with me. It was a natural fit.
And then so then you went off to Otis, and was that where you started to explore different media? I knew you as you know, somebody was sketching, always drawing, but it's like pencil or pen, but nothing else.
Yeah. So after Otis, I interned for a couple of different media companies called Bongo Comics. I worked for Family Guy, Simpsons, doing storyboarding and comic books. And the turnaround time for that is so intense that it kind of took the joy out of drawing and coming up creative, because just the turnaround time and is so stressful and everybody's on your head. So.
And do you get to when you're doing that kind of work, did you get to like explore your own vision of this, or they told you what to draw?
They break down a script in paragraphs, scenes and stuff, and you have to execute blah 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 by lunchtime, and it's so quick, and I always thought it was adding to somebody else's dream. It was never my dream. I thought it was cool, and I learned a lot from it, but it wasn't what I envisioned for myself. So Brandon Anton, actually, he's one of my good friends from New Roads, and we stayed in contact. He invited me to a Laker Clipper game. Prior to that, I was exploring this plexiglass medium.
You picked up the plexiglass medium in college?
No, so my dad, he owns an art gallery. He wanted me to mimic the colorful pylons at the LAX airport, the ones that light up. So he bought these cylindrical acrylic tubes, and he's asked me, hey, can you make these light up, or can you add some color to this? And when you buy plexiglass, it comes with a protective sheet over it. I don't know why my brain automatically went to take an X-Acto blade and cutting my design on it, lifting it up, and then spraying it, and then it would transfer like that. So at that time, that was all experimental and abstract. And I always thought, like, it would be very cool if you did something recognizable. And I thought the sky was the limit for this medium, because you could really translate anything into, as long as you draw it out on there and carve it out.
Okay, so for those of us with one, no artistic talent, and two, don't understand the medium at all. So I'm assuming, because, well, I know. What's behind you, what we're looking at behind you, is an example of what, it's in process, but it's an example of the work you do primarily.
Yeah. Yes. This is the most recent work that I'm actually currently doing. And everything that looks like the color of cardboard is
the color of cardboard. So that's
like here.
Yeah.
That's unpainted. That's actually the sticker protectant on the plexiglass.
No kidding.
So if I were to, let's say, you see these droplets on guy's head, that's all the sticker protectant. So I still have to carve out three different shades in order for that to look like water dripping over a surface.
Okay, so slow it down for those of us who, because nobody's going to get it unless they do it, right? But so you're getting a piece of plexiglass. It's covered on both sides with this protective sheet, or just one side?
Both sides, yeah.
Okay, and then you cut the design into the protective sheet.
There you go.
And then you peel it off in pieces based on what color you're going to paint over it.
Exactly. That was actually pretty on point. There is an order to it that I found out through an intense trial and error situation. I've done a full painting, and then something is backwards in the paintings. And once you carve something out on here, it's permanent. You can't even make a mistake on this. So everything has to be extremely thought out, and the design has to be approved almost before you even attempt this. So I mean, you got it on point. The only thing that is required for doing this is knowing the chronology of the tones.
What does that mean?
So like you would need to start off with black before you do anything. If you do any other color, that stuff will start to show as you pile the paint on the back of it. So if you start off with white and then your next color was red and then blue and then black, you would see those transitions through the white. Because certain light colors aren't opaque enough to cover up the stuff behind it. Right. This is like a cake, if you will. There's a bunch of different layers on the back of this glass of paint.
On the back of the glass?
Yeah. So everything conceptually, you have to do in reverse. So
okay, wait a second, because I just really want to understand this. So you're cutting it sort of backwards.
Backwards.
You're cutting it backwards. So first, the process that you like your particular workflow, you draw it out first on something.
I draw it on the back of the glass.
That's where you do the original drawing, or you do it on a sketch pad first, and then.
I do it on the back of the glass. Like I can erase and change it, but I do all my concepts in reverse on the back of the glass. And not only is that challenging as far as signage and logos that are recognizable, but if you take a picture of yourself and you flip that picture, you're not gonna look the same.
Oh, so, like, I know. I mean, I just was thinking about that before we went on, because you know, it's the zoom. There's a zoom feature, mirror my photo, because that looks normal.
Yeah.
When you actually look at it afterwards, after it's produced, it goes back to the way it's supposed to be, and it's like, wait, I look like that? I don't really look like that.
So you have to account for what the eye is programmed to see when you flip it over, and sometimes it can be off. But I've done enough trial and error to where I don't want to jinx it, but I feel like I know what I'm doing at this point.
I absolutely know what you're doing, but. So, okay, wait, let me walk this through in my own mind again, because I'm still, okay, you are tracing your design. You've got an idea of the only picture of that exists is on the back of that. You've got one in your mind. This is what I'm going to make. Mm-hmm. And you don't sketch it out first on some other pad or anything like that.
No.
You go to the plexiglass and you do it, but you do it backwards.
Backwards, yeah.
And then after each, you do the whole thing.
So this is gonna be kind of complex. Yeah. So what I'm drawing on the back of the glass is just whatever I'm gonna spray black. So whatever I spray black is basically, let's say, then it becomes a coloring book. So everything else, tones, muscle structure, all that stuff is freestyled after I do the black.
Freestyled with what?
Freestyled as far as as I'm actively working on the piece, I'll think about the way the form is lit instead of doing all everything pre-cut and then start doing it accordingly. I'll do it as I'm going.
So as I'm looking at the thing behind you, okay, so the hair in some places is black. There's black on one of the wrists. There's darker color. Well, there's black, you know, it's like on the shirt or between the shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like black maybe from your screen, but there's a series of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 7 different tones of navy blue.
Okay.
But it probably reads black from your
screen. Yeah. Okay. But so in other words, and each one of those is a separate spray. Every time you're going to spray a color, You spray all of the places that color is going to appear.
Yes.
And wow. And so all the different shades of blue, all the different shades of orange. Mm-hmm. I think that's right. It's orange. I'm a little colorblind there. So, okay. That's the grays, the grays that seem that show the muscle structure in his right deltoid. It looks like right on my screen, deltoid. That's multiple shades of gray.
Yeah, that's 11 different shades.
And each one is a separate spray, and each one's a separate peel.
Yep.
Oh my Lord. How long does it take you to make a piece like that?
Well, I'm juggling 3 kids now, so each piece is taking a bit more time. But this one's taken about 2 weeks. Without responsibility, I could do this in 4 days.
4 days
of work.
Pretty solid work. And is it exhausting?
It's mentally exhausting. It's not physically, yeah, unless you're moving the canvas. But in order to not make a mistake, you're just exhausting your brain. Like I'm thinking about the numbers of each can has a number on it, and you become obsessive so you don't make a mistake.
And the numbers are color coded by the company.
Yes, the numbers are particular. Yeah. The different tone.
And did you have to develop your own colors for this, or was it, you know, off the shelf? Some company makes these colors.
I didn't have to develop my covers, but there's only one real company that actually meshes well together, and that's Montana Spray Paint. I've done a lot of trial and error where I've almost like finished a piece, and then I would use a company outside of this, and I'll basically be done. I'll do a spray of an obscure color, and then it'll have a chemical reaction and bubble up, and then your whole painting will start to flake off the back. But I feel like I'm past that.
I take it that's not acceptable. You start again.
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah.
My Lord.
The headache.
Wow. Okay, so you've been building the brand based on most of the work you do is sports art, or all of it is sports art?
No, it's on social media. It's definitely very sports based, heavy. But I there's a lot of stuff I don't show. I do everything, wedding pictures. I really do everything, soccer, all sports, you name it. I've done stuff for CEOs and like big corporations. It's kind of random, but I have a following that is NBA based. A lot of NBA players reach out to me, and I kind of have them in my network. And I've developed a lot of content for them outside of this. So the sports aspect to my brand is what's really floating the brand.
Right. Do you ever use that medium to create something that really is that? I don't mean it's photographic, but it doesn't look like, you know, most of the colors are usually really vivid and bright.
Yeah. So you like, and I'm just learning this more so recently. The bigger you work in this medium, the more details that you can have that your eye will grasp onto and maybe give you a sense of photorealism. There's a lot of gaps when it comes to tones that are cohesive. The Montana makes like good sequences of tones, but they also have certain crucial tones that skip. And when you have a skip in a tone, your eye catches it. It goes straight to it. Says that doesn't make too much sense.
That's interesting.
So this is, it can get photoreal if it's in the category of pop art.
Got it.
It can get better than this, but it's just the scale has to be bigger.
Yeah. I mean, it's clear the detail. That's just sort of remarkable detail.
All right. So,
and yet,
I just told my wife this, because I'm infatuated with this medium. It blows my mind that I'm creating these things, and it kind of is a surprise every time I turn the canvas around. So, when you have a high profile camera, and you're looking through the lens, and certain things are in focus, and your eye is just like drawn to it, and it just looks like super crispy clear.
Sure.
I feel like when you look at this painting, when you look at my paintings, it's like looking through the camera, but everything in the painting is clear, even stuff that shouldn't be. Like, so it's like 4K or 8K when you look at the painting. And then on top of that, there's a thickness of the glass that makes it feel like you're looking through a microfine glass. It's a lot of details when you see it in person.
And is that something you like about it, or you?
I love it. Yeah. I've seen it hung in so many different ways. The way that this is about to be hung by one of my clients, they actually box it, so it's sitting off the wall maybe 8 inches, and he'll put maybe a light behind it, and some things will be lit, and it's really interesting.
Yeah. That's great. That's it's hard to tell from here, but how large is that piece of plexiglass?
This is 4x4.
4x4. How large do you work, or how small? Well, how large or how small do you?
I used to work in 18 by 24s. And
18 inches.
Yeah, 18 inches by 24 inches and 36 by 24. That was in the beginning of this, but I'll never go back to that, because there's so many more options in working big scale. And it's actually a nightmare when you start to work smaller, because all those cuts get too messy.
Well, and how do you spray it? Right? I mean, you gotta put a tube on the.
It can get messy, and then stuff starts to leak under protective layer.
Wow. And what's the largest piece you've ever done?
A billboard size. So 12 foot by 12 foot. Like 8 by 12 maybe.
Yeah. That's amazing. So you mentioned, well, first of all, let's do a plug for your wife. So do you ever work together? Because I Absolutely. Know she's an artist as well, right?
Yeah. So at the time I was working in downtown, we had a gallery.
You had a gallery?
No, my dad had a gallery.
Oh, yeah.
And I would showcase pieces sometimes when he would let me. At the time, I had a series out, and I had all the walls filled with my work. The doors to the gallery were closed, but Bon, my wife, she is an explorer and decided to go in anyway. And she checked it out and thought it was really cool. And my dad said, "Do you want to meet the artist?" That happened to be me. We teamed up.
You didn't know each other.
No.
That's how you met.
Yeah, that's how we met. But it was instant. We worked together instantly. She had a big clientele as far as the music industry, and just a different demographic than what I was used to working with. So we teamed up, and I started working with musicians, pop stars, all that stuff, and then now we work together on big stuff.
And does she use the same medium?
I taught her how to do it, and she so every time I would get a client that's in the league, in the NBA, I would do a piece for them, and then she would do a piece for the wife, because her stuff is very fashion oriented. She's a big time designer for Ed Hardy, True Religion, Lucky. She was the top designer for them, so it was a natural fit for her to to tap into the medium.
And do you, and so you've worked with her on large plexiglass pieces because you've taught her about that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Real good. What, yeah. Did she have a separate brand? She must. That's California. Is that California?
California.
Yeah.
Her name's Fawn, and she California. Yeah, you got
it. Got it. Yeah. I mean, it seems obvious. You're loving what you do.
Oh yeah, I'm obsessed with it.
And does it ever get to feel like it's a grind? Like, remember, think back to the days of the storyboards, where, like, you know, you've got a deadline, and then it's like, is it ever like that, or, you know?
I try to love the process, even if I don't love the subject, and that's taught, because I also watch a lot of YouTubes of what I think is extremely successful people. And a lot of like Kobe Bryant and all those guys, they say like something as simple as not fighting the process. And I've really been trying to hone into that. And for as far as business, like trying to cut out the middleman as much as you can. So I've learned so many things outside of my wheelhouse that I've done, so I don't have to hire out. Like I paint, I do the cinematography, I film everything. I edit all our content. I do the website. Like I do all. Yeah.
So do you do most of your own marketing?
Yeah, I've done all my marketing.
Wow. Now, to go from, you know, just sort of exploring to what is a really big deal now. I mean, it's anybody who's paid any attention to sports. It's like they've seen your stuff. I mean, you know, there's whether it's at a halftime thing or a presentation or whatever, it's really something. And I forgot to tell you this before we started, but like, you know, if we end up someplace where you don't want to go, we can always edit this out. There's not, you know.
Oh, but, you're good.
But I know you as a deep feeling, deep thinking person who cares about how people treat people, who cares about what you put out in the world, who cares about the, you know, the effect that you, when you're eating your soup, you don't want to be splattering it on anybody else. And at the same time, you want to make sure that, like, you're a very giving, genuine, generous hearted human being. And I'm wondering how your art plays into that, or do you see what you're doing with Art Mob as in some way furthering that, or do you do that elsewhere?
Absolutely. I feel like the brand that we built, and then throughout this whole process, there's always been a charitable component, a give back to the inner city, to opportunity, to materials for art schools. There's always been components that elevate the way I feel about just being able to be creative myself. So I've taught at schools in New Orleans and all the inner city stuff that is just extremely uplifting. I don't know. It's an addictive feeling to give back to the youth. And that's always been something that's been a motto in our business. Every time I would team up with an athlete, I would incorporate whatever sales, whatever things we create with that athlete to either their charity or the charity that I'm really drawn to is Children's Hospital LA. So I'm my wife and I used to volunteer to every third Thursday at Children's Hospital, and it's the most amazing start to your day. It grounds you. It really makes you humble to everything you have. And my wife, we have a daughter. She has special needs, and Children's Hospital LA has been the most amazing home.
It's an amazing place.
It's unreal. And she's six now, and we caught what she had early, and I've been going to Children's Hospital every day, practically every day, in the morning, start off my morning there where she has her therapy and stuff. And it just, it humbles you, it grounds you, and it's just unreal.
Do you mind? I mean, you don't have to, but do you mind saying what's her challenge?
I'm an open book. There's nothing you need to ever edit. So yeah.
Well, unless I sound like an idiot, in which case I'll edit that out.
Yeah, there you go. My daughter has a thing called Phelan-McDermid syndrome, and it's a chromosomal deletion. Mm-hmm. The exact chromosome is 22q13, and it affects a broad spectrum, but the diagnosis is so rare that there's not a lot of research behind it. Mm-hmm. But through prayer and attentiveness, like she's every day in a better place. So
that's so good. I'm glad to hear that. That's really sweet. Do you ever work on pieces for you and not for, or because, you know, obviously you get a lot of work that is commissioned, but so do you have any projects that you wish you could do that you don't get to do, or do you do them? In which case, what are they?
So outside of the commission work, I test this medium out a lot, and I actually have a shop in the Palisades that I get to directly test whatever thoughts in my head translate to the glass. I put them in the store, and like we've been very fortunate. A lot of my, I'm gonna call them sketchbook ideas. I'll do it on the glass, take it down the street, and then put it up, and people are buying them. So it's fantastic. A lot of these commissions, I don't let the athlete know, but like I'm a basketball fan. I'm like kind of tripping out that I'm even like in this position.
I know that about you.
Yeah. So like I may not smile on camera, but I got the biggest smile as a fan, you know.
I know that's really something. It was like, you know, you were a basketball fan forever.
Yeah.
And the fact that you get to do this with and for players, it's so good. Yeah, it's great. And when your wife's not working on plexiglass with you, what's her stuff look like? Is it material, textiles?
She actually works on commercials for the most part. She does fabrications. She'll do any conceptual idea that a director would have. They'll call her and she'll fabricate. I'm gonna come up with something random. A coffee machine with antlers and robot. She'll come conceptually make it and make it set approved.
Oh, I hate these talented people, man.
you definitely have to come over to our house because it's so non-traditional. Our driveway is maybe 40 feet. On the driveway, there's every cartoon character you probably grew up watching spray painted. On our chimney, Bart is tagging it. It's all spray painted. It's like a fun house. It's really interesting.
What do your neighbors say?
All right, yeah, it is. It's different. They love it, but we definitely look like the Addams Family.
Do you ever work with other materials?
So I've done a couple different basketball courts, where a team like a Nike will hire us out and they'll want us to do a design on behalf of somebody. We'll plot it out and chalk line a grid on a court and then completely paint it. And I've done probably 10 courts.
Really?
And that's a really different process too.
That's so you grit it out and then you do you spray?
Or no, no, it's all dump a bucket out and almost like mop it.
Yeah, that's a big canvas.
Yeah,
that's a big canvas. Yeah, yeah. So is there in your mind is that would don't tell me anything where you have to kill me after you tell me, but is there a direction that you're thinking about going in that's like, you know, what's next? Or are you just going to wait for the discovery? Or is there something that's like calling you?
I definitely have multiple goals in mind. The 2023, I definitely want to work with bigger corporations and have them trust in me to come up with a campaign or a design for products and stuff like that. Prior to that, we just did a thing for Nike where we dropped an Air Force One Nike shoe on behalf of Los Angeles. It's our signature shoe. So ever since then, we've been in talks with bigger brands.
What would you do for a corporation? Is it like part of their marketing thing or decorating or a painting or something for their offices or what?
It would be more probably for products.
Uh-huh.
And then we have a whole merch line coming out tied into the NBA, and that's in the works too. There's a lot of wheels turning. It's just almost I also do leave it a little bit up to like what's next, because I'm surprised every time, you know.
Yeah.
But I do have some goals that I want to hit.
You know your world better than I do, but you don't want to get so busy that you don't get to do artwork. So at some point you might have to hire somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's always been a goal. I haven't found an artist or people with the same execution or work ethic. I've always seen Art Mob as a collective group, and we have a cinematographer, we have Fawn and I doing paintings and stuff like that, videographer, we have all that.
Yeah.
I've always wanted it to be kind of like a music group where we have a bunch of really high profile people and it's under one label. So that's a goal as well.
Yeah. I feel like a proud parent in some ways. Like you've done so many great things. It's so good.
I feel amazing that you're proud of me.
What's so spectacular about it for me is that it's like it's grown out of you doing what you love.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's the most amazing part, I think.
That's like, you know, what do they say? Like, if you're doing what you love, you'll never work a day in your life.
Yes.
I'm not sure they're right about that, but you know what they mean.
Yeah. At least you're having fun. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so what else, if I was a wise person, what else would I ask you about your work?
All those questions in the beginning were extremely wise. People don't understand this process, and you really like honed in on it. Like people are baffled.
I didn't get until you said it. And it sort of makes my head spin. What I didn't understand was that, wait, you're doing it backwards.
Yeah.
And the other piece that's a little wild to think is like that there's no, you don't draw out what you want it to look like before you ever, you know, get to that piece of plexiglass. You know, you look at all the old Da Vinci paintings and Michelangelo work and all those Raphael, and there's all this, you know, when you really dig into it, there's all these drafts, there's all these sketches, there's all these a study that they've done a billion studies before they actually, you know, start working on a canvas. And it's like the idea that you're drawing it out on the plexiglass is amazing to me. And backwards.
Well, I love originality, and I respect people that can draw what they see. I respect people that can copy a photo. But I like something that's original and different. A lot of the moments that I get hired to do are from a photo.
Yeah.
But I don't want to. I don't want to just paint a photo.
No, I mean, I've seen some of this stuff. Like, you know, there's one that comes to mind. You know, it's a moment where Michael Jordan wins the championship, yeah. And he's kind of he's like hugging the trophy. He's
trying holding the trophy. But,
and it's so you can find the moment, the photograph, where that's what's happening, but yours is you know, it is not that photograph. It is something much more, it's got so much more life.
I would like to think so.
Yeah.
And I like to change it, even if the reference is something recognizable in mainstream. Yeah. I do like to change elements about it, whether it's the lighting, whether it's the motion, whether it's a different position in the body, or even like the piece that you're talking about. I have Jordan hugging a trophy, crying, but the trophy is melting through his hand. And that piece, I think I called that piece Melted Dreams.
And did you do that for him or for the...
That was for NBA All-Stars Los Angeles. And then I teamed up with Baron Davis for that curated show. And Michael Jordan was there.
Yeah.
And Shaq was there and stuff. Like, it was cool.
And did they, like, were they, like, blown away by what?
Shaq was bugging me. It was filmed on TNT, and he wouldn't let it go. He was like, how much for that piece? Baron was the host at the time, and he'd be asking other questions, and then Shaq would interrupt him on camera and say, hey, by the way, how much is that?
Hey, man, you don't put that man on blast like that, man. Hey, man, don't put the miles on, bro. You want the Jordan? You want the Jordan? KG got the Kyrie. KG's
going to the Kyrie. Yeah. We're going to get it. It's pretty classic.
Is Baron still involved?
Yeah, actually, I have a meeting with him.
Say hello.
I will, for sure.
Say hello. We're old buddies.
Good. He's a wild man. I developed a series with him called Black Santa. I went back to storyboarding, actually. This was, I want to say, 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
I storyboarded his idea, did the character concepts for him. And we've been working on projects ever since.
Cool. Tell him I say hello, and yes, I can still do those push-ups. I'm 70, and I can still do those push-ups. He'll know what you mean.
I'll definitely tell him. He's telling me to call him, so I will for sure.
Cool. Well, Michael, you know, I want to respect your time, and you're so generous to be even to do that. And so, thank you so much for.
Yeah, thank you.
Unless there's more you want to say, thank you so much for having giving the time for this. And I'm just like, I'm so proud of you, man. I'm really.
Thank you to you. Thank you for inspiring me. Thank you for catering to me. I had a different spectrum of talent in high school, and you catered to it and let me shine, and I'm forever grateful to you and the ecosystem that you built, and that's ingrained in me. And
thanks, dude. Really appreciate that. Really appreciate that. So, and I promise you, next time I'm going to be coming to LA, I'm going to hit you up and I'm going to let you know. And hopefully, it'll work out.
It will. It will. Let me know.
All right.
You're listening to Curiosity Invited with David Bryan here on LA Talk Radio.